Morning, everybody. Today we're reading out of Matthew 7, 24 through 27. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. This is the word of God for the people of God. You may be seated.
So this morning, we finish our parable series, and if you have missed any and are like, man, I'd love to hear some of those, you can go on insidesec.org and listen to the previous messages. There's a lot of great ones. Also, about a year ago, we did a sermon series on the Sermon on the Mount, and today's text actually finishes that up, and this text is actually a great reminder, not only for the Sermon on the Mount, but also for this series with the parables, because it reminds us that these teachings Jesus is giving us is important to take in, right? Important to learn, important to apply. And we can't miss that opportunity because he's teaching us not only about how he wants us to live, but he's also teaching us about his kingdom, right? And so we don't want to miss those opportunities. But before we dive officially in, I want to ask you a question. Let's say today I had $1 million in my bank account, which I don't. But let's say I did. If I were to pick some lucky family in the church and say, hey, I'm going to give you that $1 million to build your dream home, what would you put in your dream home? Talk to a few people around you and let them know, what would you have in your dream home right now if I gave you $1 million to do that? Go ahead. There's some good laughter going right now in the room. Think about this, though. If, like, we could be really ridiculous, right, for a moment, like, my dream home probably wouldn't fit in $1 million. Like, that's really weird to say, but it probably wouldn't if I did everything I ever wanted to do with my home. Now, here's what's interesting, too. Like, if you have a family that you live with, and you all talk about how you're going to build your dream home together, that's probably going to look a little different for each of you, right? So I have two boys and my wife. My wife informed me after last service that if I somehow pulled that off, that she wants a mini cow. Like a little space in our house or our yard or whatever. And I was like, I love you. But if I guess if we have $1 million, so be it. My boys would tell you something different, right? My oldest is all things sports, so he'd be all like, we got to have a batting cage, we got to have a basketball hoop, you know, anything he can get his hands on sports-wise, soccer goal, you know, any of that he would have in our house. My youngest is all things animals, specifically manatees, and I know, they are cute. But I can imagine if I said, bro, we have $1 million to build our dream home. He goes, we're getting a big water tank, and I'm going to have one or two manatees that I'm going to take care of in our house. Now, you don't know this. I didn't say this last service, but we tried, or not he, but me, I'll own it, tried with 16 fish in our house, and I killed all 16. So don't tell him that, because I want him to dream and believe we could take care of manatees. For me, it'd be even different, right? Like, man, anybody want this? A movie room, a theater room? No? At least last service. Oh, somebody said yes. Thank you. Don't make me feel too alone. A game room? Anybody want a video game room? Big TV, right? Play some big video games. You know, and then I didn't say this last service, but somebody shouted it out for me. They said, what about your Christmas room? And so anybody that knows me knows I love Christmas, and so I have a lot of Legos for Christmas, so I need a room for that, right? To store them all year, not just for like a month, right? My family kind of has rules in the house. But the truth is, we'd all dream, and let's be honest, most of us probably have dreamed at some point of what we would do with our house, or if we could have a house, or whatever, right? Well, here's the truth. Jesus has a dream for us. Jesus has a dream for you, and he has a dream for me. He has a dream for our church. He has a dream for this community. He has a big dream. And he tells us right in the Bible what those dreams are, if we're willing to obey him and follow him and let him guide us in that. And he has these dreams for us, how we live, how we're going to make choices, all those things. And we're going to look at that here in a moment. But what I want to do is I want to pray for our time together before we dive into the text. So let's pray. So God, would you help us with this time? God, would you speak to us? Would you help us hear what you want for us, but not just hear it, apply? God, we thank you for days like these that we can sing to you and sing about you, and we have these times to learn with you and from you. And so, God, would you do that this morning for each of us in the room? Would you show us what we need to know today so hopefully we can follow you a little better and grow more with you? In your name, amen. So, hey, it's interesting to me, this text starts saying, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. So he doesn't even dive into who's a fool, who's a wise person. He literally starts this part out going, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. Guess what? If you are a consistent Sunday person, every Sunday you hear Jesus' words, right? Because we believe in the Bible here. We believe that we want his words taught so we can learn and grow together, right? But there's a difference. He doesn't just say, for everyone who hears my words, he adds to it. He said, whoever hears my words and puts them into practice. So here's the line I want to give you for today. Obeying Jesus trumps listening to Jesus. Yeah? Obeying Jesus trumps listening to Jesus. Now here's why. Obedience comes from agreeing and believing what you've been told. Did you hear that? Obedience comes from agreeing and believing what you've just been told. So some of us in the room might hear me teach today and go, I really appreciate what Pastor said today. I agree with that. I believe that. I'm going to try to figure this out this week. Some, you might fall asleep. I get it. Some might handle it differently. All of us are walking in different places in different ways. And we got to figure out, what are we going to do with what we're hearing today, right? Or if you're in your Bible every day, what are you going to do with what you read that day? If it's a verse, if it's a chapter, whatever you're doing, right? So here's how this came true to me last night. My boys came into play. Because truth, right? If you have kids, or if you've had any kids around you, if you're a grandparent or whatever, or if you're a teacher or whatever, you know that students are either going to agree with you and believe you, or they're not. And they're going to let you know, I agree with you and believe you, or I don't, by how they act and respond to what you say and what you do, right? So last night, one of the boys in our neighborhood came over to our house. He played catch with my two boys while I was sitting there talking with their dad and just hanging out for the night for a little bit. Well, my youngest had a game around 4:30, so we got home, had dinner, and then they went and played catch with him for a little bit. And I was like, okay, it's getting late. Benjamin, you need to go inside and take a shower and go to mommy. Here's how you know they don't agree with you or believe you. So I just bought him this beautiful new baseball mitt because he's been playing really good this year, and I was like, we need to get him a new one. He's buying into this. And so I did, and he took that new beautiful baseball glove mitt, and I won't yell as loud as he did, but he yelled no and threw his glove. And I looked at him, and then he looked at me, and then I looked at my buddy, and he goes, well, there's a talk coming tonight. And I said, buddy, you have to go into mommy. It's time to get ready for bed and shower and all that stuff. And he goes, no. But he still went in anyways. So later, I say to Jonathan, our oldest, okay, buddy, it's time to go in. He's more of a rule follower, if we're just being honest, though. And he says, all right, Dad, sounds good. He gets his glove, gets his ball, gets his other mitt from his buddy, and then he goes inside, up to mommy, gets ready for bed, does everything he's supposed to do and needs to do. Why? Because he agreed with me, right? He believed me. He agreed it was time to be done for the night, and he believed me, so he did what I asked of him, right? Where my other one did not. So I'm going upstairs to get ready to help put them asleep, and my youngest is all of a sudden being super sweet to me. How much he loves me. How I'm the best dad in the world. Which I already knew that, you know. But it's kind of nice to hear once in a while. And I said, buddy, I love you. And thank you for all the compliments, but we're still going to have to talk. And he's like, oh. And I said, let's go in your room for a moment. You're not in trouble. Let's just go in your room and talk for a moment. And he goes, okay. So I sat him on my lap, and we were talking about, this isn't how we behave, is it? This isn't how we respond. That's a phrase we use with our boys a lot. Is this how you behave? Is this how you respond to people? No? Then let's not do it. Or try not to do it, right? And so we had to have that talk. And in the end, it all turned out great. He loves me. We gave each other a hug, said goodnight, and all that stuff. But what a clear picture of I agree with you and believe you, so I'm going to do what you're asking of me. I don't agree with you, and I don't believe in you, and you're going to know it, right? Well, question is today, where are you at with your Heavenly Father? Are you in agreement and believe what he says in his word and are trying to live it and apply it because it's true? Or are there days you're like, forget it. You are not asking this of me. I am not going to do this. Uh-uh. And you throw a fit. I think at some point we're all guilty of that, right? Because sometimes we don't want to. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. Sometimes it's like, I want to be right on this. You know, whatever it is. But here's the truth. Obeying Jesus trumps listening to Jesus. I love that so many of you come faithfully week to week to week and even watch us online when you can't get here physically. You know, it's awesome. But if we're going to change our lives, if we're going to change our families' lives, if we're going to impact this community, there's another step. It's about obeying, not just coming and listening. Make sense? And that's what God's calling us to. So therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain comes down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall because its foundation was on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who has built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Here's what I find interesting in this text. You're getting the same message, right? Everybody in this room today is hearing the same thing I'm saying, right? You're not getting me saying, oh, here's this, and then some of you are hearing, well, maybe, I don't know, hearing this, right? I'm teaching you all the same thing, so you hopefully hear the same thing, and hopefully we'll take what you need to do and go with it. Jesus wasn't playing around with these two guys. He wasn't like, I'm going to give the wise man all the secrets to life and let him succeed and win, and now I'm going to go over here and tell this guy some other stuff so he can look like a fool. That's not how this works. He's teaching everybody the same thing. Okay? So he teaches them the same thing. The interesting is everybody is building, right? We're going to learn more about that in a little bit here. But both choose to build. So still the same scenario. Both are hearing the same thing. Both are building, right? Here's the other thing I find interesting. Both experience the same circumstances in life. They're both watching the rain come down, the streams rising, the winds blowing and beating against the house. They are getting the exact same scenario. So they're both hearing Jesus' teachings, the same thing. They're both building their house on what they believe is important. And they are both going through the exact same circumstances in life. So not one is getting a better scenario than the other. They're getting the exact same scenarios in life. What is different? Well, one chose to listen to Jesus and obey him, and one chose to listen to Jesus and ignore him. Do you hear that? One chose to listen to Jesus and obey him, which meant they agreed and they believed what he was saying was truth. And the other person was listening, but they ignored it. Why? Because they did not believe and they did not agree. And so thus we have this scenario. See, the interesting thing is we all have this same choice. We all have this same choice. We all can come to the Bible and it's the same Bible around the world, right? No one's changing the Bible. What changes is what we are choosing to do or not do with it. Either choosing to obey or ignore it. Choosing to follow it or let it go. It's interesting because James's brother actually brings this up in James chapter 1. He says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. Anyone who listens to a word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at their face in the mirror and after looking at themselves goes away and immediately forgets what they look like." It's just interesting because I don't know if you're like me. I was sharing this last service with somebody afterwards that I grew up in the church. I grew up reading the Bible. Like, that was big to me because that's what was big to my family, right? But what I found interesting was later on in life, I had a mentor come to me and goes, "Are you just reading it or are you doing something with it?" Mind blown. Because I believe with all my heart, it is important to be in the Bible every day. That's why Jeff stood up here and shared with you. We would love to give you a Bible if you don't have one, because we believe in it that much. But I was just reading it, and there'd be many days I'd walk away, just like James is talking about. I'd forget what I had learned. I'd forget what I read that day, and I'd go live my life. And unfortunately, a lot of days I would not live the way God was asking me to live that day. Or I'd forget what he was teaching me that day, and I would forget how to apply that to my life that day. You know what's interesting? God has this fun sense of humor that sometimes he's going to bring that text in your life because he wants you to learn it for that moment or something close. And if we don't pay attention and ignore it, all of a sudden we drop the ball. But my mentor, he said to me, he goes, "I want you to learn how not just to read anymore. I want you to learn how to apply." And he taught me this method of how to journal with it and even write prayers out based on that day and stuff to help me not just be the fool in the sand, but learn how to be the wise man on the rock. What's interesting, too, is when you think about this, what Jesus is talking about is when these two houses are built, the same circumstance are storms in life. All of a sudden, storms are going to come in my life. Every one of us has storms, right? And anybody that's done life with Jesus for some time in their life will say to you, most likely, "I don't know how I made it through that without Jesus." Yeah? Anybody ever had that moment? I've heard that so many times in my lifetime from people that I talk to, I know in the church. They're like, "I don't know how I did that without Jesus." Why? Because it's like we sang earlier, he's that firm foundation. He's the rock on which I stand. And then there's people like, man, before I knew Jesus, I don't know how I made it through life without him. And that's not to pick on anybody or anything, it's just the truth. That's why he brings this text up. Anyone who hears me, you have a choice. Anybody who hears me, why? Because obeying Jesus trumps listening to Jesus. Why? Because obedience comes from agreeing and believing. How you live your life is going to tell yourself, your family members, the people in this community, if you agree or don't with Jesus. There are days I have to go back to my boys and apologize because I did not live the way Jesus wanted me to in that moment. I have to say, man, I have to say sorry, buddy. Like 2 weeks ago, I was at Walmart with my boys. And we were looking at cereal. They were getting ready to pick cereal because school's done, so they're home more. And my boys have a habit, though, so to give myself a little grace, they have a habit of buying cereal and then not eating it. And so in my head, I'm like, this is $5. Like, I sound really shallow right now, but this is $5 that we really don't want to spend on this. And so my oldest wanted this box because he's got Crocs, and it's got one of those little things, decorative things for the Crocs in it. And I was like, that's $5. Are you going to eat that? You know what I had to do? I had to eat my words. And I had to go back to him and apologize. I was like, that's a jerk move, dude. Who cares? In the end, who cares? And I had to go back and apologize to him. And then he gave me a big hug. And I'll tell you what, it was a beautiful moment. Why? Because Jesus calls us to say sorry, right? And he calls us to forgive. Some of his truths, right, in the Bible. Here's what I love. I'm going to show you some pictures. So first of all, I'm going to show you a sand picture houses. So these are a little messed up. So that one's good, but it's okay, right? That one fell over. That one's stuck. That one's just done. Why? Sand moves. Sand is not stable. Like, think about this. You as a human being have the power to change the directory of sand. That's a big deal. You go to the beach. Any beach lovers in here? There, yeah. I'm not as much, but that's okay. I love you anyways. But here's the thing. Once you stand on the sand, guess what happens? It moves, right? It changes. It reforms. It does whatever it's supposed to do because you moved it. You changed it. It's that simple. I just have to take my little finger, stick it in the sand, and go like this, and I change the directory of sand. Is that what we really want to build our homes on? Our lives around, our families around, our community around? I don't think so. I think most in the room would agree we don't want to. Let's look at some rock pictures. Here's how they're built. Look at that beautiful thing. I'd live there. Be lonely, but I'd live there. Look at that thing. That ain't moving. Same scenario, right? They aren't moving. No matter where they're located, they aren't moving. You know how they move? Is if somehow an earthquake happens or some catastrophic thing around the rock moves. I mean, you got to do a lot of work to chop that rock up to get those houses to fall, right? It's interesting how many times in the Bible Jesus is called the rock. Why? Because, folks, if we build our lives around him, he won't move. The storms that come in life, whatever they are and whatever they look like for you, won't knock you over like they could. They're not going to sweep you away like the sand houses. They're not going to overflow you like the sand houses. Those rocks are standing there sturdy, and you're going to have to do a lot, and a lot's going to have to happen to take them out. Don't we want to live like that? Don't we want to be those kind of people that live like that and look like that? That's what he's calling us to. He has a dream for us, and it's a beautiful dream if we believe and agree. See, here's the thing. This whole thing is about relationship. But just like any relationship you're in, at some point, relationships have to produce action, right? So for instance, when I saw my wife, I was like, whoa. And that produced an action. Because that meant I had to walk over to her, right? And meet her. And talk to her. I didn't do real good at the beginning. But it produced an action because I wanted a relationship with her. A friendship, right? When you want to be friends with somebody, it produces an action, right? It's the same thing with Jesus. When you have a relationship with Jesus and want a relationship with Jesus, it produces an action. For some of us in the room, it actually means starting the relationship with Jesus. That's your action. For some of us in the room, it's now making that choice. Do I want to be a foolish builder or a wise builder? And that's an action. Why? Because obeying means you're going to agree and you're going to believe what Jesus is saying in his book. And it's going to create an action. Yeah? It's also important, too, to remind ourselves another truth about the rock. I was talking to a buddy this week, and it was fun talking to him about it. And we decided to come to this conclusion. It's not the rock that fails you. It's the ground around you that fails you. See, here's why that came up. Him and I were talking about my sermon, and we were talking through this idea of the rock not failing us, right? But yet, you watch some videos, and rocks fall, right? Like, they fall off the cliff, they fall wherever, so they're not always stable. But here's the interesting thing. It's not the rock that did it, it was the ground around it. See, here's Jesus on this rock. This is who we're supposed to put our house on. This is how we're supposed to put our lives around. And the rest is all the rest of the things around us, the world, everything that's trying to grab our attention. That's what can fall apart. Just like those pictures with the rock, those houses ain't moving unless everything around it falls apart, right? It's the same with Jesus. He's not going to fall apart. So I came up with this line when I was talking to my buddy. And I wrote it down this morning. Building our lives around Jesus, not trying to fit him in. Building our lives around Jesus, not trying to just fit him in. There's a difference there, isn't there? Here's why. Because in Ephesians chapter 2, we learn this. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. And here we go. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Guess what? Right here, this is built for you already, so you know the truth already. And then it goes on to say, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joining together and rises to become this holy temple. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. See, interesting about Cornerstone nowadays is we don't understand it as well a lot of times as they did back then. Because back then, they would come build this big rock and they put it in a corner where they believe the corner of the house was going to be, and they literally built everything around that corner piece to make the rest of the house work. So if you didn't build around that corner piece well, your house is done. It was going to fall. Everything mattered, how you were going to build your house around that corner piece. And that's what Paul's saying in Ephesians. Folks, Jesus Christ is our cornerstone. He's building our house. He's got the set foundation. Are we building the rest of the house to match with him, to make it what he wants it to be, to live out his dream for what a house could look like in your life, in your family's life, and in this community's life? So I looked up cornerstone to see if I could find any today, and I found a couple. So here's the first picture. That's pretty big, isn't it? And if they didn't build around that properly, that building would not last eventually. You know why a lot of these structures exist in Europe still? Like from a long, long time ago? Because they understood the importance of how you build around things in your buildings, right? I'm going to show you my favorite one, though. So if you know me at all, I'm an Iowa boy, so I had to throw that in there today. Because like Field of Dreams, right? This is heaven. But the truth is, it matters. It matters, folks, what you do with your life and how you build your life. See, here's what I know. When Jesus is our cornerstone, it changes our life forever. And we know this from the New Testament. Because in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes down at what they call Pentecost. And he fills them, and they go out and tell. And here's the amazing part. When you keep reading through the book of Acts and you read other books of the Bible in the New Testament, you see that their lives are completely changed forever. I mean, they're like meeting every day to be together. Literally eating together, studying the Bible together, worshiping God together every day. They sell things to support one another. Like their lives were literally changed because of who Jesus is. It makes a difference. Why? Because they ended up agreeing and believing it was true. And thus, they didn't just hear about Jesus' teaching, they obeyed him. But the interesting thing is, this cornerstone, it affects your whole house. So I want to show you something. So I brought these bricks from my home. They're not from my home, literally. I didn't tear them out of my house. But these are some leftovers from when we had our house built. And it's interesting because you have this corner, right? Everybody has four corners in their house, right? Depending how those corners are built and everything off those corners will affect how your house is going to stand or not stand, right? It's going to make a huge difference. But here's what I find interesting is a lot of us, we believe once we start a relationship with Christ, our house is done. We believe that spiritually. Like, I accepted Jesus into my heart and my house is done. It's complete. It's actually not done because God's still working on us. He's still transforming us. He's still teaching us. And so each day we're living out Ephesians 2. He is our cornerstone, and him, the whole building is joined together, and we're being built together. So here's what that looks like. Tomorrow, I'm going to wake up and be in my Bible, wherever I'm at in my Bible. And that day, I'm going to go, okay, God, what do you want to teach me today? And then in that, as he's teaching me, whatever that is in that reading, that particular text, I'm going to be like, all right. How do you want me to apply this today? Because I don't want to forget it. If I don't start doing this now, I'm going to forget it. And so I take my next brick on my house. I got a small house today, but that's okay. And it's like, all right, Lord, here's what you're teaching me today. I'm going to put today's brick on my house because you're teaching me, you're transforming me, you're all these things, right? And so I'm going to put it on here where it belongs. And there's this perfect fit right on the corner, and that's where it's supposed to go, right? So let's say today I live out what God has for me today. Well, then my house foundation is a little stronger, right? My house is being built up with the Lord in the Lord, right? Now, if you're like me, Not every day is perfect. I make mistakes. I don't always choose what God has for me. There are days I don't want to agree, like my youngest. So here's what happens. I take that same brick, today's the day, and I'm out with a bunch of our students at Rascals this afternoon, and one of them pushes my button a little bit, and I get a little upset, and I don't apply today that I could have obeyed and agreed with him that I should still love that kid anyways and still forgive that kid anyways and all those things, right? And I'm like, no. So guess what happens? My brick gets moved because I put it there instead of where it belongs, right? Because I didn't agree or believe where it was supposed to go. I believe it's supposed to go here, right? So in that moment or in this day, I'm not agreeing with God, so I'm not believing. I'm not living out what he has for me. I'm not living out his dream for Lee Willis, which thus, that will affect my family and thus will affect our students and thus will affect this community, depending how I handle it. But here's the beauty. We cannot miss this either today. We have these moments, right, where we put the brick in the wrong place. But here's the beauty. Tonight I go home, and I get in bed, and I realize I didn't handle that real well with that kid today. God, that's not the best. You know what, God, I'm sorry. I need to keep growing and learning. Will you help me with this? And you know what happens? God comes down and goes, all right, bro. Let's put it back where it belongs today. Let's get the house a little stronger. And then tomorrow, let's put a new brick on. And we'll keep figuring this out together as long as you're willing to do this with me, as long as you're willing to agree with me and believe what I says is true. I actually had somebody come up and talk to me, and it was really what I believe a cool moment is they were like, man, what if you go like weeks without apologizing though? Like, you just keep making choices. And I said, well, we know the truth, right? Your brick's gonna be like over here, and your next brick's gonna be like over here, right? Like, it's not gonna be where it is. But I said, here's what I believe with all my heart. I said, at some point, no matter where you're at in your house building, this is the beauty of Jesus, right? It could be 3 weeks from now, and you're just living life however you want. You're not agreeing and believing whatever God has for you, his dream for you. And all of a sudden, 3 weeks from now, you're like, oh, I'm missing it. And all of a sudden, you're like, God, I'm sorry. You know what I believe? God's going to take all those bricks and put them where they belong. You know how I know? Because I went a number of years where I was living my own way, even though I knew about Jesus, even though I was listening about Jesus. And so one day I said, I want a relationship with you. And you know what he did? He took my whole house that I was building myself, and he goes, all right, now let's build this together. And he squeezed the whole house in its proper place. And he's been teaching me ever since, and I'm trying to figure this out with him so that way I can help my boys figure it out, and so that way I can help you figure it out, and that way we can help this community figure it out. It's never too late. It's never too late to get your bricks back in place. My prayer is you won't wait too long either, though. My prayer is you won't wait too long. But it's never too late for him to take all these bricks and go, let's do this and figure this out. But it comes back to this, folks, what he's saying in his text. Obeying Jesus trumps listening to him. But we have to agree and believe what he's saying is true. And then live it. Amen? So who do you want to be? Who do you want your family to be? Who do we want to be in this community? And depending how you answer that will impact if you're going to build wisely or if you're going to build foolishly. And that's up to you because you do get the choice. Let's pray. God, we do. We thank you for today. We thank you for these moments you want to teach us. Speak into our lives, because you want the best for us. You want us to live out the dream you have for us. But we have to take the step of action. We have to agree and believe and then walk that way. So God, would you help each of us in this room, wherever we're at right now, in our journey with you, God, for those that don't have a relationship with you yet, God, my prayer is today, gosh, man, so hard today, they would do that and get that house matched with you. And God, would you help the rest of us that have already made that commitment to the relationship? God, would you help us be those wise builders? God, would you help us, even if we like it or not, to agree with you and believe you, to live out what you have for us, to live out your dream for us, and believe that obeying you trumps just listening to you. So God, would you help us with this? We thank you for your grace and forgiveness in all this too, though, as we're trying to learn and figure this out. I'm even grateful for this church family. God, that we have people in here that we can go to each other and say, will you help me with this? Will you pray for me in this? I need to confess this to you, whatever that looks like. So we thank you for that. So God, would you just continue to help us in this journey? In your name, amen.